Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Care for each other and support each other. That's what I've seen. I've seen a group of guys that want to do the right things. And it's a high character group. It's a willing group. Our care factor is high. And I expect us to care for each other tomorrow, play for each other, sacrifice for each other. I think we'll do that well.
Bulls head coach Jim Boylan the day before the season starts. My name is Joe Ostrowski at the Miller Lite Top Draft broadcast on the Score. Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park, Oak Park and 170th Street. Giving out a pair of Bears tickets for Bears Giants next month. You can come in and register before I get out of here at 10. Yeah, the Bulls start the season on the road. They've got four of their first five on the road. They're going to be in Charlotte tomorrow night. 6 o'clock tip. And, of course, you can catch that game right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. You know, I know a lot of people haven't paid close attention as the rebuild's been going on with the Bulls. But this should be the year they take a jump. It's all set up that way. And over the past couple of years, as John Paxson has tried to acquire some talent, you've taken a look and you say, okay, a couple of injuries and they're done. And what's happened, a couple injuries, then they're done. They also had the coaching change, the near player mutiny last year. But now they've actually built up some depth with the starting lineup of Markkanen, LaVine, Carter, and Porter. And then what we think will be a competent point guard in Thomas Satoransky. And then the big draft pick for this year is Coby White. So, and you bring in a guy like Thad Young, should be bring some professionalism to the locker room, but I don't think it's unrealistic to talk about this bowl season as this is the year you take the big jump, and this is the year that you get yourself into a position to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. That should happen. If you can stay relatively healthy, that should absolutely happen. Now, they've brought in a lot of offensive-minded coaches, too, so they're going to try and catch up with the rest of the league. And we'll hear from John Paxson coming up in a little bit. But producing tonight, Herb Lawrence. He's the executive producer for Bulls Basketball in studio. And Jordan Malley does a fantastic podcast on the Bulls, Locked On Bulls. It's 5 days a week if you want to search and subscribe there. You can check that out. But, Jordan, I wanted to bring you guys in for a moment here because you just get sick of hearing, well, if they stay healthy, well, if they stay healthy. Give me something important that we should be watching about this bowl season aside from health early on.
I think it's going to be the first 30 games of the season. I mean, take a look at the schedule. The first 5 to 7 games, pretty much a cakewalk. Bulls should be out of this 5-2, no doubt about it. But then you look at the first month and a half of the season, look at that November schedule. They have to go on the road for a lot of those games. And they end up playing playoff contenders that were 5-4-3 seeds last year. It's going to be really, really tough. So getting out of these first 30 games, 500 or better, I think is a huge, huge part to being successful this season.
But aside from the upcoming schedule, yeah, you want that fast start. But as far as on the court, is there anybody that you're looking at saying, okay, this guy's going to show that he could be at that all-star level? Because that was one of the stories last year. Whoa, Zach LaVine's playing to an all-star level, but he wasn't an all-star. He was very upset. Now you get Carter. Can he stay healthy? Porter, I mean, once they acquired him, they went on a bit of a run. Then he's had issues with injuries. It's been the entire roster, really.
Otto Porter, I think, is my pick, my underrated pick for most improved player. Look at his stats from last year and just having a full season, full healthy season with his Bulls team and not on a weird Wizards roster. He's third wheeling. I think he's gone really, really underrated, and I think he's set up to have a really good season. On top of that, though, I think Lauri Markkanen, he's kind of had a dud preseason, and I think a lot of people are mildly worried about what he's going to do this year. So I think that he's the X factor on top of Carter, like you had mentioned.
Okay. What is... It's interesting what they're saying about Coby White, because he may have the highest ceiling on the entire roster. It's fun to watch, super fast. I mean, just adding to his speed, adding some speed to this roster, it feels like the Bulls are Jordaning the rest of the NBA, the way things have gone. And I wonder about his role. And you mentioned those first 30 games, Jordan, and what it sounds like, you may have a plan, but a season happens. You hear that in the NFL all the time. Okay, like let's go back to Trubisky's rookie year. Yeah, he's a project. He's got a lot of work to do. So he's not going to play the first year. That's why we're bringing in Mike Glennon. He's going to be our quarterback. But then the season happens. He was so bad in the first four games, they couldn't continue to put Glennon out there. So they forced Trubisky into action early. So Coby White, if all things are going well, if it's up to the Bulls, what is his role early?
I think it's to come off and kind of be the sixth man, I would assume. He's played a lot better in preseason, and the coaches and the front office have glowed about him. And I don't know if that's just building up the lottery pick that they got after a disappointment of falling from 4 to 7, or if it's actually like he's putting in the work and he looks a lot better. I thought he looked amazing in preseason, a lot better than I thought he was going to. So I would say sixth man. And I know people get caught up with the starters and everything, and oh, if he's not starting, it's considered not great. But Thomas Adoransky is going to start, but I think we're going to see a lot of Coby White at the two this year.
Why is Dunn still on the roster?
Man, I like Dunn. I like Dunn a lot.
What? You're still hanging on?
I'm the only one hanging out on this island. I think a few fans have mailboxes, but I'm the only one here.
What? Why? What do you see that's still inside of him? Because the team has moved on. I mean, you mentioned the fans have moved on. They're still giving him a roster spot, but every time John Paxson speaks about Dunn, it seems like it is over.
Well, he's done kind of a 180 since April, too. Like, in April, he wasn't even mentioned, and it's kind of funny. Like, the Bulls, their promotions in April for the season ticket packages for this year didn't include Chris Dunn.
Not on it, yeah.
And a lot of that, to me, was like, okay, then he's getting pushed out. They're going to try to trade him. Then they come around in media day. They talked about a lot about Chris Dunn in a positive light, so I don't know if that's trying to build up trade value or whatever, but I keep going back to the first year Chris Dunn played here. He played really well in December and January before smashing his face in the United Center floor, pretty much ending
his
season.
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
It was. But last year, think about it, too. After the first game, just had a kid, then goes down for 5 weeks with a knee injury. Comes back, doesn't have really a spot. Jim Boylan is the new coach. Things were weird last year for him, and I just don't think he ever got it going. I think the biggest thing with him is confidence. Confidence is everything for him, and if he doesn't have it, you see nights where he goes out there and he shoots 2 for 14. So he needs to play to his strengths.
That's interesting that you think the opinion of Dunn has changed, and my guess would be is he was actually showing up and working hard. That's really important to Paxson, and that was a storyline last offseason. And then he was upset about some stuff that was reported. The Bulls were upset as well, but they were also upset that he wasn't showing up at the Birdo or working out on his own, getting ready for the season. So that's a big deal. So maybe he did show up. He finally caved there. This morning, John Paxson is on the station with Mully and Haw, and I want to bring some of that back here as we get set for the season tomorrow. The Bulls open up the season at Charlotte. You can hear it right here on 670 The Score. But they started off the conversation by asking Paxson about his season expectations.
Well, it should be the goal. Neither Jim or I or anyone, a year ago or 2 years ago would have expressed that as a goal. But I think given the fact that, a lot of our young guys, we have been here for a couple of years now, specifically Zach and Lowry, we've added some real veteran leadership. I think it's good to talk that way. We also have to be realistic in that we're still a really young group. You know, we're the second youngest team, I believe, in the league, you know, in terms of age. But I told the guys, you know, you can't use youth as an excuse. I think maturity is a big thing. I think even our young guys are mature individuals. And, you know, take Wendell Carter, for example. I mean, he's a young guy, but he went through, you know, he played a year at Duke. He's been through pressure and those type of things. So I think maturity is an important thing. So, yeah, I think all of us like our roster. I mentioned on Media Day that, you know, in 2 years we really completely turned the roster over. In that clip you heard Jim talk about different ways we can play. I do think that given some of the versatility, we'll probably play small at times. And we're, you know, we're still missing, you know, a piece in terms of, you know, our wing depth with Chandler Hutchinson, who's been out the whole preseason. When we get him back in the fold, you know, he gives us a little bit of a different element too. So, you know, on paper, it's all good. We're 0-0, so everybody's, you know, feeling good about things. But, you know, we've got to come together on the floor, and that's always the biggest thing as a team.
John, you guys have been fun to watch in preseason. I think you watched the way the Bulls have played with pace. You're shooting a lot of three-pointers. It seems as if there's a different approach than maybe we heard from Jim and saw at times at the end of last season or sort of since he took over. What triggered the evolution in his thinking offensively, if anything did? And do you think that's an overstatement? Because it does seem like this is a different approach to offensive basketball.
Well, it's some of it's personnel related. I do believe that. You know, and again, in defense of Jim, when he got the job in December last year, you know, you're just trying to create a culture more than anything, or an environment that you know, shows you're in a leadership position. And you know, so he was trying to reinforce some things early on last year, attacking the rim, getting to the basket, playing downhill. But candidly, our personnel last year, with the injuries that we had, you know, we were trying to play with you know, with guys that weren't necessarily shooters, that type of thing. The encouraging thing for me when I watched our team in preseason is the quality of the three that we were able to get. You know, you just don't want to be a team that indiscriminately comes up and shoots contested threes. It's through the philosophy of, you know, finding gaps in the defense, penetrating, kicking, and Jim's really emphasized the extra pass to the open shooter. So I think it's the quality of three that you get. And then the guys got to knock them down. And I believe we shot 37% in the preseason. But, you know, even at that, preseason is always difficult because, and especially in this day and age, you know, most teams now play 4 or 5 preseason games. A lot of teams don't play their lineups and combinations, but I think Jim had the right approach in terms of, you know, when we play, we're going to, you know, play our units together, and we're going to try to find what works. And he's been really good in that regard. So yeah, it's, we have a positive feeling, but you know, it's difficult in this league. We start with 4 out of 5 on the road, 5 out of 7 on the road. We're going to have to be prepared. And as I mentioned on Media Day, we've got some young guys that need to step up into that area of contributing to wins now. So, you know, we'll see where that goes.
It's interesting to look at the way that, you know, when you start projecting what the season's going to be, you look at what happened last year and you think, oh boy, that's a lot to ask. But you were really banged up. You were hurt again last year. You've had a real hard time getting all of this this group on the floor mm-hmm. together. And now you go into a season where you're relatively healthy. How do you maintain that, John? And is that the biggest challenge?
It is a challenge. And you know, we've been saying it for 2 years, and I hate saying it because people always say, well, that's an excuse and that type of thing. But we literally have not been able to put out the group we've wanted to put out. And that's really, from my seat and from Gar's seat, we'd love to see us be healthy so we can see what we do have and how they can come together. The one thing that Jim has talked a lot about to our group here through the September and the preseason is how much change there has been in the league this off season, and you know, how many really good players have moved to other teams. And so the point being that the team that comes together soonest maybe has a little advantage, and that's what we're trying to get to. But we have to be healthy in order to do that. And you know, there's the statistics tell us that last year we missed the most games due to injury of any team in the league. And, you know, part of that was, you know, Denzel Valentine had surgery, missed the whole year, but we had some real key players out. And there was, you know, when Lowry was out early in the season and missed his games, he comes back and all of a sudden Wendell's out for the year after he falls and, you know, has the surgery on his thumb. So I want you guys to know, there's no excuses in injuries, and it was just a disjointed year. But for us to evaluate and see what we really have in terms of these young players and the group that we've assembled, we have to be healthy. Every team says that, and they should. But that's the big challenge, and hopefully, you know, we can, you know, we have some guys in our roster that we'll really look at in terms of minutes that they play to try to keep them healthy and available for games, and you know, we'll go from there. But that is a big challenge.
John, Coby White looks electric. What do you envision his role? How does he fit into the structure of this offense, or is he better when the offense maybe is less structured?
Well, the one thing that Jim's been trying to do in preseason is get these guys to play faster, obviously, but to read defenses and make plays by reading what's available. And that's often hard for young guys, but Kobe's been really good. And I think the one, you know, Jim's not labeling him as a point guard, a shooting guard. He's a scorer. And, when you look at a team and how you're trying to construct it, you obviously need some balance. And right now, when we look at Coby coming off the bench with our second group, Chris Dunn's been good in preseason and, you know, his influence on the defensive end. I think the two of those playing together, both Coby and Chris, has been a positive for us. We want that to carry over into the regular season. So I think Coby right now is in a very good role for himself. And the great thing about him is he's a positive kid. He accepts his role. I think he'll see as this goes on that this puts him in a position to be successful. There's not too much pressure on him, any of those type of things. So, yeah, he's been everything we hoped he would be. But, you know, again, I've seen a lot of young kids in this league, and, you know, the regular season comes upon you, and it's a little bit different. But the one thing we say internally as we've watched him is that he's a fearless kid. He really doesn't you know, kind of accepts the, you know, the challenge in the league, and, you know, he plays fearlessly, and that's a good quality to have as a young kid.
Thomas Satoransky is going to be starting for you, and boy, he had a great offseason. He played very well for his country in the world stuff. Is he better than we thought? I mean, you obviously signed him for a reason, but he's moving right in and is an interesting player.
Yeah, I think he's a really good complementary piece, and again, it goes back to how you're trying to construct your team. And so, you know, we have a guy at the two guard position, Zach LaVine, who is just a dynamic scorer. He Zach can walk out on the floor given his talent, athletic ability, and score 20 a game. That's just who he is. So, you know, getting a guard next to him that is a very good complementary piece. The thing that I think is underrated about Thomas and maybe some guards in that position in general is, you know, are you willing to give up the ball and not have to pound it? Can you move without the ball off of a score like Zach? And Tomas can do that. So, you know, and again, he's one of these players that gives us some versatility out on the floor because he's got size, he's 6'6", he's got some length. And, you know, in that earlier clip, that's what Jim was talking about. I can envision us throwing a lineup out there of, you know, Satoransky, Dunn, and Coby for, you know, stretches where, you know, we have some playmakers, some shooters, and that type of thing. So, so that's a good thing. And so I think it's the balance of the starters. You know, when you can have Sato with, you know, not only Zach but Otto and Lowry and Wendell, how that unit comes together and how they play. That'll be a big part of you know whether we have success or not.
That was John Paxson this morning on Sports Radio 670, The Score with Mullion Hogg. And Bulls at Charlotte on tomorrow night, on Wednesday. And then on Friday, they visit Memphis. Four of the first five games are on the road. So not tough teams, but it's never easy when you start on the road like that, four of your first five. This segment on The Score is brought to you by Mecham Auctions, the largest collector car auction company, returns to the Schaumburg Convention Center October 24th. to the 26th. See 1,000 muscle cars, classics, Corvettes, hot rods, resto mods, and more. Advanced discounts on bidder registrations and tickets at Mecum.com. That is Mecum.com. You've got Joe Ostrowski and Miller Lite Top Draft broadcast from Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park, Oak Park and 170th Street. And I want to get back to some Bears. There's some strong opinions I heard about what the front office needs to do over the next, I'd say, week or so. How the Bears need to act now, and it involves a quarterback. That's next. Joe Ostrowski here on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With this run game, right, it's about productive plays, right? I know you guys agree with that, productive plays. Right now, we're not having productive plays in the run game, any way you look at it. So in the offseason, when we sit down, I'll sit down with every one of you here, and we'll just sit down and we'll just talk through this, and we'll talk through the why parts. I can't do it right now because we got to worry about the Chargers. I want positive plays. I want plays that – and part of the patience is that as well. Like, there's no doubt about it. There's got to be more patience. But every game is a little bit different based off the defense you're seeing and then how your O-line is blocking and the schemes of the plays that are working or not working that game.
Matt Nagy set a record, only 7 rushing attempts in a game. That is a franchise low, franchise that's been around a bit. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I'm glad, Jordan, that you played that one, because I have a few issues with that. When he said it wasn't working in the run game, based off of what? First 5 minutes of the game, he tried it 3 times on 1st and 10. Okay, a down that many teams decide to run the football, right? Try to get 2nd and manageable. But it's very predictable, a predictable spot. They had 1 yard, a no gain, and 2 yards, and then he quit for the next 55 minutes. Because after that, in the next 55 minutes, Russ got 2 carries for the entire game. And he's suggesting that they were moving the football through the air. And he also said that they were moving the football through the air. That's not the case. He dismissed garbage time, those last 2 touchdown drives, 1 before and 1 after the onside kick. So he said that doesn't matter. Didn't mean anything. Okay. Well, before that, you were getting 3.4 yards per pass attempt through the air. So that was not working either. I think he's just trying to make people happy because he knows that they want him to run the football, and I don't know that he's going to do that. Maybe they'll grab an early lead against the Chargers, and then they'll end up doing that, because that's what's happening right now. When you look at David Montgomery, it doesn't have to be through the run. You brought him in because you said he's an every down back, and he can be involved in so many ways. In their 3 wins, he's averaging 20 touches and 72 total yards. Not the most productive back, but at least he's running the clock. He's getting you first downs. In the 3 losses, he's averaged 7.7 touches and only 33 yards. They went on and on about how much he was going to change the offense in the offseason, and they're not involving the guy. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall with the Wildcats host Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. So I think the Chargers are coming in at the right time. It's funny how quickly things change in this league. All of a sudden, everyone's down and out on the Bears after 2 losses, and especially after a bye. I kind of get it. But especially this past week, not a great matchup for the Bears. Dennis Allen, defensive coordinator of the Saints, disguising blitzes. He was just sending guys in the second half, had Mitch completely confused. Trubisky couldn't accomplish anything on 3rd down. It was, where's A-Rob, where's A-Rob, where's A-Rob? And that was pretty much the offense that we saw on Sunday. Now, this Chargers team is dealing with a bunch of injuries, offensive line and defensive line, and any pass rush is getting home, putting pressure consistently on Phillip Rivers. So that's something to watch out for. Mac's going to have a big game. It didn't have much of an impact over the last two games in these losses. So it's time for him to have a monster game. I mean, he's getting $141 million for a reason. He's supposed to make a big impact on every game. And he was losing one-on-one battles against the Saints on Sunday. Now, sometimes they got help on that side, but he was losing some battles. So I expect him to have a monster game. And this point spread is now 4. It opened at 6. I'm not surprised that money came in on the Chargers there, because the Chargers are always involved in these one-score games. And the way they lost on Sunday, they had every chance to win that game. They had 3 shots at a touchdown in the final minute, and they were stuffed. And then Melvin Gordon fumbles the football against Tennessee. But they've lost 5 of their last 6. Their only game against Miami, a team that is trying to lose. And these losses at Detroit, against the Texans, Broncos, not the best of teams, against the Steelers, that was 24-17. But if you watch that game, that was never close. It was Steelers over very early, and the Chargers got a couple of garbage touchdowns like the Bears did on Sunday. And then they lost at Tennessee. So, I mean, at least the Bears have lost to the Saints and the Packers in Week 1, right? I mean, the Chargers, they're not playing a tough schedule so far. So the Bears should win. They should win, and they should win by multiple scores. Now, is that going to happen? I have no idea. I'm not going to sit here and predict a double-digit victory when they can't put any points on the board, when the quarterback can't move the football, when this is the only offense that has failed to gain 300 yards in a game. It's the only offense in the NFL. Even the Dolphins have done that. So there's reasons to question the Bears and what they're going to be moving forward. I thought last week was a must-win game. This is a must-win game. You go 3-4, and the trade deadline hits you on Tuesday. You have to have that conversation, that tough one, but should we sell? Because if you know someone is going to be leaving, like a Danny Trevathan, maybe if you can get a late-round pick. 3 trades went down today. Denver says, let's sell Emmanuel Sanders. We're not going anywhere. Atlanta, same deal. They're going to fire their head coach soon. They trade Mohamed Sanu over to San Francisco. And in the division, the Lions, they lose 3 in a row, like, season's over. Let's get rid of Quandre Diggs. Not that they can't win without Diggs, but that sends a message through the locker room that, okay, it's season over. If we can acquire anything for the future, because it ain't happening this year, not in this NFC North. 312-644-6767 if you want to jump in. 312-644-6767. So Michael Lombardi of Radio.com Sports, he's a regular visitor on the Mullion Hall Show. And he has criticized how the Bears handled Trubisky since day one. He said it wasn't the right pick. Should have taken Watson or Mahomes. Didn't make any sense. And then they moved up, and that was really, really bad. And He was on his GM Shuffle podcast. I found this fascinating because he was going back to the very beginning, at least when Nagy got here. Now, remember, Trubisky was already here, and Nagy spent a year coaching Patrick Mahomes. And Lombardi was talking about whether or not Nagy even wants Trubisky here. Sometimes you wonder, with these game plans, is he putting him in a position to succeed? Now, this week, I'm certainly expecting that to be the case. He's got to get involved with the legs, running bootleg, mobile. I mean, last year he was averaging 30 rushing yards per game, and that's his greatest asset. But listen to a couple minutes of this conversation with Lombardi on his GM Shuffle podcast and the entire Bears situation.
Okay, Nagy gets the job because he comes in to the interview and he basically says he likes him. Now, when they did him, okay, they didn't like him in Kansas City, right? He right. didn't like him in Kansas City. They liked Mahomes. That's who they were on in Kansas City, Mahomes. And Andy Reid's admitted that he liked Deshaun Watson and Mahomes. Those were his two guys. Now, he liked Mahomes more, but and give him credit for that, because that was just a tremendous pick. But he liked him more. And so you're dealing with a guy that, you know, he didn't really like him. And then once I got to know him, I really like him. He impressed me with his knowledge. He has no knowledge. Like, he can't do anything at the line of scrimmage. You can't do anything with this guy. So what are you going to do, Ryan Pace? What are you going to do? You're going to sit there and keep watching it? You're going to ruin your career? At some point, you got to cut your losses. And I don't want to hear this crap. I do not want to hear this crap. Well, he's going to get better. Because this crap is crap. Because, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick brought the Miami Dolphins. He's not very good, but Ryan Fitzpatrick made the Dolphins look a hell of a lot better. Trade for Marcus Mariota. Trade for somebody. He's going to have to do it.
It's funny that you mentioned Mariota, because that was my thought. There's a guy who's had 5 years, and we all know now he hasn't panned out. At the very least, needs a change of scenery. Jameis Winston's a turnover machine. Maybe people will say the Trubisky apologist, Mike, hey, give him more time, because look at how much time Winston and Mariota have had. Can you buy that?
Yeah, that's, you know what? That's lost, but we're making great time. That's the old saying. You know, we're lost, but we're making great time. You know, would you like to have 5 more years of Winston? Seriously, you wasted time. Time equals money. At some point, you got to make a decision. Like, this guy ain't good enough. This guy is not good enough. And it shows up. I mean, look at the Miami offense without Josh Rosen in it. Look at the Miami. I mean, not that Miami's any good. I'm not saying Miami's any good. But look at it without Josh Rosen. They moved the ball. They moved the ball. I mean, think about it. Lamar Jackson was the last quarterback picked. He had a historic day today, winning up in Seattle. Remarkable, right? I mean, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, all these guys got picked before him, but Lamar can't play quarterback. He's a running back. He's a wide receiver, and look what he's doing. Like, at some point, you have to admit that you can't evaluate quarterbacks. Ryan Pace has got to have a hard conversation with himself. This is ridiculous. He's going to lose his – he's lost his team. He's close to losing his team right now. There's no doubt.
It makes me think of Bob Dylan. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blow, right?
That's right. That's a great line.
That's a great line.
I mean, the reality of it is you got to do something. And that's why the trading deadline is so important. Who could you get? Hey, you know what I do? I call San Francisco. Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard. Who do you have? Can I have one of them? I'll give you a draft pick. Because I promise you, you put Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard behind the Bears, I'm not saying they're going to be great. They're going to be a hell of a lot better than they are right now.
Yeah, they definitely have issues.
You got to do something. You have to do something. You can't go... I'm telling you, Tyrod Taylor would make the Bears better.
It sounds crazy, but week 8 against the Chargers at Soldier Field, the season's on the line. It is. Because if you get a win, then you could talk yourself into thinking, okay, they can get to 10 before the season wraps. If you fall to 3-4 and the schedule starts to get tougher, then you're going to Philadelphia next week and all people are going to talk about is what happened in the double doink game in the playoffs. That's not going to be pretty. And that won't be a friendly crowd. And it's probably not going to be a friendly crowd Sunday at Soldier Field. If they're not putting up touchdowns, they don't score a touchdown offensively in the first half, you know the boos are going to be coming down. And they're going to be booing Trubisky. And then you're going to be wondering, is it time to make a change at Chase Daniel? And I think that's in the cards. And I asked a guest I had earlier, Brett Coleman, if you make that change, is that for good? He said yes, but Olin Kreutz was here. He said no. He thinks that you can go back to Trubisky if you do lift him for a half, if you're looking for some sort of a spark. And I would lean with Olin there. I think you can go back. But mentally, I think Trubisky might be gone if you bench him then. If you bench him then, the guy clearly already doesn't have confidence. Eddie Jackson's talked about that on these airwaves. So that'll be fascinating to watch. Everything is set up for the Bears to win. Dominate this Chargers team. This is not the Charger team of last year. They haven't done anything. Only team they beat in their last 5 games is Miami Dolphins, who are trying to lose. So they should win convincingly. There is no reason Mac doesn't have a big game and they don't dominate LA. They've got a couple offensive weapons, but they don't have any protection. This segment on The Score brought to you by the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. The Chicago Fire headed back to Soldier Field in 2020. Join the movement today by placing a $20 deposit applicable to any 2020 ticket package or single game ticket, including the club's Soldier Field home opener versus Atlanta United. Visit chicago-fire.com to learn more. My name is Joe Ostrowski. If you are at Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park, make sure you register to win Bears tickets. We'll be giving those away at 10 o'clock. Julian Carroll show starts at 10 o'clock. She'll check in next for transition. You've got The Score. Joe Ostrowski broadcasting from Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park on 670. The Score coming up at the top of the hour. Woo! Julie DeCaro is here, and she jumps in for transition. Julie, what's going on?
Hello, how are you?
Doing great.
Well, I got bad news for you. I'm in the co-host spot because while I was sitting in the host spot, the mic stand just fell over and broke. So now I'm over in the next studio.
I don't think there will be an issue. Nobody will be upset about that situation at all. Maybe.
Well, I was literally just sitting here and the thing just toppled over.
I'll swing by.
Miska's on it. He's got to come back to the station, so you're lucky. He'll fix it because Dave could fix just about anything.
I know he can.
We're excited that David Ross got his second interview. Like that didn't happen 2 years ago.
I was not excited for that. No, thank you for asking.
That's it?
No? Why do you need a second interview with David Ross? Don't they know everything they know about David Ross already?
Yes.
I just don't.
It makes no sense.
I agree.
They've had 100 interviews with him, basically, right? When he's in the office every day.
That's like me interviewing you, giving you a second interview. Like, I know what you do. I know what your ideas are, your thoughts are. Like,
or maybe it never even happened, and they're just saying it happened because people are getting excited about Joe Espada before they hire Ross.
Maybe they bring Espada in. Espada blows them away, and they're like, all right, well, let's bring David in and see if he can blow us away again or, you know, can equally blow us away. I don't know.
That already happened, right? I mean, that's why he got a second interview when it seemed like it was done.
Right, but I'm saying maybe they're giving Ross one more chance to live up to the Joe Espada level. I have no idea.
Here's the answers. Here's the answers to the test. Can you match Espada? That'll be funny.
Maybe here's what he said. Can you say these same things?
You think we'll hear this week?
I thought we were going to hear tomorrow or yesterday. I really did.
I'm glad we didn't because
I think
if it's Espada, it's after the World Series.
Yes, which is now what I'm hoping for. But now I have concerns that this whole situation in Houston casts Espada in a bad light. How ironic would that be? I know.
Even the manager spoke out today. He was not happy.
Yeah, well, but the Astros, their statements were just complete and total trash. And Major League Baseball's statement wasn't much better.
How in 2019 do people not know that "I'm sorry if anyone was offended" is not an apology?
I mean, yeah. And imagine being that upset in the first place that a woman tweeted out a domestic violence hotline number. Shouldn't we want that?
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a good thing.
Well, the funny thing is Major League Baseball doesn't want news. They don't want distractions. They want the World Series games to be center stage. Everything that people are talking about, right? Which is why we don't have a lot of these hires going on during the World Series. But a team participating in the World Series did just that by just out of sheer stupidity.
Yes. And it's not the first time. I mean, Houston has been, the statements that came out today, it's like we're all sitting there and like maybe third time will be the charm because the statement from Brandon Taubman today was just terrible. I mean, it was so tone deaf and you can tell he still doesn't really think he did anything wrong.
I thought they had smart people in that organization.
Not in the PR department. Because I mean, their strategy since they brought Asuna in has basically been, we're sorry, you know, and Jeff Luna, who I used to have tons of respect for, has basically been like, it's a good thing for us to bring in domestic abusers because then people talk about domestic violence. And it's like,
yeah,
what?
I heard that.
I mean, they don't get it.
Anything they can try, any story they can try and tell themselves to say, okay, well, this is why we can get away with it. We all know what they're doing and why they're doing it. And the Cubs did the exact same thing.
Yep, exactly.
It's bottom line. It's winning.
I agree.
That's all they care about. They can talk about their donations. It means nothing to them.
Which, by the way, the Astros are like, we raised $300,000. How about the organization give some of its like millions away instead of raising it from other people, from fans?
Right.
Give me a break.
Exactly. So you're a Nats fan, I assume.
I am. I'm a huge Nationals fan. I have been my entire life. Thank you for asking.
Well, Davey Martinez, you've got that angle.
I got my friend's husband pitches.
Okay.
Like, there's lots of stuff going on.
And it would be really cool if a team loses the big free agent and then they go on. Yeah, we're fine anyways. Go ahead, Bryce Harper. Go to Philly. We're going to go win a championship.
Yeah, and I agree. And it's also always fun for me when a team that everyone is screaming for them to fire their manager before the All-Star game comes back and is in the World Series. I mean, that's fun. I hate to say it, but that's 2003 Marlins. That wasn't fun for us, but for the rest of baseball, that was like a great ride.
Well, it's something they've already accomplished, which I do like for the sport, is a wild card team making a run. Because we were going through a few years here where the wild card team weren't doing anything. And now we can go back to at least As far as the Cubs go and as the season moves along, if they're in position, the hope of the wild card, it doesn't mean you're just done immediately. That if you have the pitching, the Cubs don't. But if you have the pitching, that you could actually make a run.
Well, and I guess, it sort of reinforces that idea that all you have to do, I hate it when the Cubs would say this all year, all you have to do is get to the postseason. But, right. Because it was like, well, we saw you get to the postseason last year and you sort of laid an egg then too. But it really does sort of reinforce the idea that it is possible to get just super hot as you hit the playoffs and make a run.
Just get in, but once you get in and you use your best guy or all your best pitchers in that wild card game just to survive, then you have something moving forward for that next series. Yeah.
Right. And I also think that Max Scherzer...
It works if you get in and you have a backup plan.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we have two aces.
Well, you got to have the horses in the first place, right? I mean, they can be underperforming all season long, but you got to have the guys. I also think that Max Scherzer is quite likely, certifiably insane. And I enjoy the fact that we all just pretend that he's like a normal human being out there on the mound when he's probably going to bite someone at some point.
We might see him pitch four games.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't
maybe
be surprised
more?
If he was out there every game.
Yeah, if this thing goes... wow.
Why not?
If it goes the distance, maybe... Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not the Strasburg games. Those will be the only ones that he ends up sitting out.
I find him extremely entertaining.
You do? Okay.
I do, yes.
What do you have on the show this
evening? We're going to talk... Well, I haven't got my chance to yell about the Bears yet. Oh, so we're going to start
I had
off...
I my chance with Olin.
Yeah.
And
Olin is so good. He's so thoughtful. He really is.
No, he's excellent. I'm laughing because he was emotional at times.
Yeah.
As was I.
Well, I haven't gotten my chance to be emotional on the air yet, so we're going to yell about the Bears for the first hour, and then the second hour we're going to talk some Major League Baseball. We got obviously a whole bunch of things to talk about, so we're going to the callers will be the guests for the second half of the show.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Julie. I'll be listening on my 5-mile drive home.
Enjoy.
I want to thank everybody for coming out to the Miller Lite Top Draft broadcast and Olin Kreutz for jumping on earlier, Brett Coleman from SB Nation. I want to thank Tony and Kathy from Tinley Pub, Old Tinley Pub, for having us out this evening. It was a blast. Engineering Dave Miska, producers Herb Lawrence, Jordan Malley, and promotions Cooper Kaplan and Greg Rinaldi. The podcast available on 670thescore.com. Julie is next. Good night.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!